You know the deal. Successfully complete the mission, you get 10 years off your sentence. You fail to follow my orders in any way, and I detonate the explosive device in the base of your skull.
Good dog.
We are a black ops unit, meaning nothing you see here ever happened.
Savant!
Your commanding officer will be Colonel Rick Flagg.
Or would you rather be called Derlin?
I'd rather not be called at all. But I'll do anything to get out of this hellhole.
Well, welcome to anything.
And welcome, everybody, to the Enemy of the Good. I am Tootsie, and with me...
I'm the Captain. What's up, guys?
So, thanks for tuning in, guys, as always. This week, we're going to do a review of Suicide Squad.
Spoiler alert. I'm going to say that right now.
All spoilers, no alert.
Get that out. Spoilers. Spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. So, if you haven't seen it yet, and you don't want spoilers, then don't listen. But come back to us after you watch it.
Right. Was this movie the enemy of the good?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I kind of have a love-hate relationship with this movie, I think.
Okay, so we're going to start off with the low-hanging fruit. It was better than the first one.
Yes, once again, for a
not a high bar.
For a DC movie, that's not something that's hard to do.
I just don't get. And look, I'm glad they brought in James Gunn for this.
Yes.
It made a difference. And, you know, at the end of the day, James Gunn's a fucking nerd.
Yeah.
And he's gonna give you an entertaining superhero movie.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job with the direction of it. I think he helped write it too, so if I'm not mistaken. So
that's good.
I think it was all a good movie all around. To me, it had some problems, some issues that I didn't really care for. But overall, it was a good movie.
Yeah. I mean, it was entertaining. I enjoyed it more than some other movies I've seen recently. Mortal Kombat.
Yes, we know how you feel about Mortal Kombat.
I'm just, you know, when you have...
Never mind. We know how you feel about Mortal Kombat.
So you can go back and listen to that episode, which is... I think one of our great ones, to be honest. This one was just really fun, and it had a very Guardians of the Galaxy feel to it. So you know that was James Gunn's kind of hallmark, is that kind of just kind of lightheartedness in the middle of a serious situation. And you know, it was just a better plot.
Well, let's just start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. So the cast of characters they had for this thing was outrageous. I mean, entirely too long to keep up with anything. So you knew something big was going to happen in the first 10 minutes or so of the movie.
Yeah.
You knew somebody had to die.
Well, it's Suicide Squad. Most of them have to die.
Well, most of them did in the first 5 minutes of the movie. Spoiler.
Yeah. So they bring in some of the weirdest ones too. Like just people you didn't even...
Yeah,
I mean, actually, as a comic fan, I had to look up some of these people.
Okay, so you had Nathan Fillion playing TDK.
Yes,
right, the detachable kid. His arms come off and like baby slap you. I don't know how he even caused crime to get into the prison to become part of the Suicide Squad.
I have no idea,
but he was in it. Michael Rooker.
It just happened so fast that you're.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Rooker is a good actor, I think highly underrated. All right, he plays Savant, which I don't know anything about. As far as I can tell.
I honestly would have to look up some of these because they're all minor.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, he was created for the movie.
Yeah.
I've looked up some stuff. I don't see anything going on.
But he's another, like, throw things around, hit them accurately. So, like, him and Captain Boomerang kind of filled the same role.
Yeah, Jai Courtney came back and played his role as Captain Boomerang. Fula Borg, Javelin.
Mm-hmm.
Mei Ling Ming played Mogul. She was like the cat looking chick, like the Shatara,
mm-hmm.
you know, girl. Then you had Sean Gunn play Weasel. You know, and then you had.
Well, make sounds for Weasel.
Yeah. I mean, he went around with a weasel head, you know. I mean,
yeah.
You know how Sean Gunn does with his brother whenever, you know,
yeah.
whenever he records for him.
It's hilarious.
and he played, and Pete Davidson played Blackguard.
Yeah.
Right. And then you had your returns, Margot Robbie, Harley Quinn, you know, Sylvester Stallone lended his voice to King Shark.
Yep.
King Shark. Idris Elba played Bloodsport.
Great Idris Elba.
John Cena.
I love him so much.
Knockout. He's good in pretty much everything he does. John Cena played Peacemaker. And Daniel Melchior played Ratcatcher 2. Ratcatcher 2, I'm sorry. And then David Datchelman, can't say it, play Polka Dot Man. So that's pretty much your lineup there. So kind of pick what you think is going to happen, right? So movie starts off, they're picking the Suicide Squad. Waller goes to get Savant to join the squad. Then they head off on their mission. And take it away.
So basically the team that they follow at the beginning of the movie is just a giant distraction. So Pete Davidson's character basically sells them out. They leave Flag and Harley Quinn and everyone else to kind of take on the entire army of Quarter Maltese, which is a fictional island in DC's universe. Think about it like I guess it's their version of Cuba.
I was going to say kind of like a Cuba thing.
It's kind of like their Cuba.
Argentina. You know,
yeah. It's
Venezuela. It's
a Caribbean, Central South American island where, you know, there's a lot of corruption and
military coups,
all that good stuff. Drugs. They actually are a big drug running and human trafficking and weapon smuggling center in DC lore.
Right.
So they do a lot of bad stuff goes on there. Mostly warlords run the place, yada, yada. So they do, you know, in the movie, they just had a revolution where
A
military coup.
Yeah, they took over.
One of the generals went and killed the president and his family and took over. So the Suicide Squad's supposed to go in. There's this place called
Jutunheim.
Jotunheim.
There you go. Jotunheim. Yeah.
Where they're doing all kind of experiments on this
starfish.
Space starfish. Starro, who's actually a Justice League villain normally, because it's a giant mind controlling starfish that can produce millions of starfish and take control of host bodies.
Project Starfish. It's been the primary focus of my experiments here for the past 30 years.
Here, what is it doing here?
Oh, it is having little babies.
Not progeny. Extensions of itself. They take hosts, and those hosts in turn become part of the central being. It feeds on their consciousnesses, grows larger, more powerful.
In the Justice League comics, Starro actually takes over, like, members of the Justice League, like Wonder Woman and Superman and stuff like that, so he can learn to control them. And for those of you who are fans of the Justice League animated series and Batman Beyond actually did a Starro episodes. It was like a two-parter. And I think it was close to the end of the series now I'm thinking about it. And Starro had taken over the whole Justice League at that point in time, which was like, the older Silver Streak Superman.
Yeah.
All this. So anyway, it's a Justice League villain. So it's a big threat, and we kind of get hints of what it is, but we're not, they don't actually show you the starfish until later. And so they're going in, they're supposed to destroy the building, kill whatever's down there, and prevent this new government from using it against anyone else.
This is Jotunheim. A scientific experimentation facility containing something known only as Project Starfish. Our intelligence sources tell us that Starfish is extraterrestrial in origin. In the hands of the Luna regime, it is potentially cataclysmic for Americans and the world. Your mission is to infiltrate Jotunheim and destroy every trace of Project Starfish.
So you bring back Waller, you bring back her hard-nosedness
Right. You bring back Rick Flag.
Yeah, you bring back Flag, and just, you know, the black ops nature of this, everybody's expendable, everybody's going to die, save face at all costs, yada, yada. And I think you see Waller's a little harder in this one, but her humanity starts to squeak through a little bit, and that's what I enjoyed about the portrayal of the character this time. Because, like, she's starting to have actually emotions about people dying and having to kill them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the first one, she was just completely cold. And you see Flag kind of make a turn, too. And this was the one where it's like, okay, the Suicide Squad went from just Black Ops group to being heroes. But it was a journey. This was the journey. And I thought this was just a really overall good, fun movie. I wasn't expecting a lot. The first one basically gave us not much to compare it to, honestly, but they put together a good film, and they really took it in the direction that I was kind of hoping it would go anyway, where it's like almost like a lighthearted gangster film where you know a lot of people are going to die, but like you actually start liking some of the characters that die.
Yeah, I mean, it had enough twists and turns to get you there. I mean, you know, you get to like Peacemaker. You know, you get to like Bloodsport. You really get to enjoy those characters, and then, you know, things happen and stuff ensues, and you know, you get to see the real character and why they were picked there to be where they were supposed to be.
Yes, and so the beginning of the movie after that, so Bloodsport's team is the second team.
Each member of the team is chosen for his or her own completely unique set of abilities. This is Christopher Smith, known as Peacemaker. In his hands, anything is a deadly weapon.
Are you having a laugh?
What?
You just said each member of the team is chosen for their unique abilities. He does exactly what I do, but better.
Stop. It's King Shark. Some people claim that Nanawe is a descendant of an ancient shark god. Whatever the case, he's strong and deadly.
Does it talk?
Book read.
Wow.
So smart, me. Enjoy books so much.
Be a mite careful, as he's developed a taste for human meat. Next, we have Cleo Cazzo, Ratcatcher 2.
Well, he couldn't afford Ratcatcher 1.
He's dead. This is his daughter. And finally, we have Abner Krill. They call him the Polka Dot Man.
Polka Dot Man? What does he do, throw polka dots at people? He does. He throws polka dots at people.
And they come in opposite the Harley Quinn team and Flag team. So Harley Quinn and Flag are the only two that survive the first beachhead.
Right.
Flag gets captured by the resistance in Corner Maltese, and Harley Quinn gets captured by the military. So the other team, Idris Elba's team, Bloodsport's team, they go and they're going to infiltrate and try this, but then they're supposed to go rescue Flag because they find Colonel Flag.
Right. They alive. Find out that Flag is still alive, so Waller makes them go after Flag.
Yeah, so they go after Flag and just proceed to massacre an entire village of resistance fighters.
Yeah.
And then find out that Flag's already made like friends with the
resistance.
With the resistance leader. So that was pretty ass of that. And I'm like,
oops.
But the whole interaction between Cena's Peacemaker
and Bloodsport
during that whole thing was just, I loved it.
I mean, it was like a one-up.
It was a one-up, yeah. And
an enjoyable pissing match, if you will.
Yes, yes, very much so. And I don't know why, but Peacemaker had a blowgun and was like blow-darting people to death.
I mean, why the fuck not?
Why not? So they get that, and then it kind of cuts to Harley Quinn, who apparently the general who committed the military coup really has a
Harley Quinn fetish. Yes. Yeah.
He has Harley Quinn fetish, so he brings her in, shows her his
presidential wares.
Yeah. And then probably one of the funniest Harley Quinn moments in the whole thing.
At this point, he's basically like, I need you to be my first lady.
I want you to be my first whatever. Lady. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So he wants to marry her.
She's all head over heels, Harley Quinn, what she does, fall in love with bad dudes. And then, so they, you know, they finally have their moment. And then she shoots him because he's like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and kill anybody who opposes me. I'm going to take them, their children, their families, and throw them into that tower to Jotunheim and feed them to the beast. And then he turns around and Harley shoots him. And she's like,
Recently, I made a promise to myself that the next time I got a boyfriend, I'd be on the lookout for red flags. And if I saw any, I would do the healthy thing. And I would murder him. And killing kids, it's kind of a red flag. I know what you're trying to say.
It's just one of the funniest scenes in the whole movie. And just, you know, Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn. She's done a fantastic, you know, as bad as the first movie was.
Yeah.
As you know.
I didn't see Birds of Prey, so I can't really say a whole lot about that.
And I'm just.
I don't want to. I've not heard good things about it.
I have a feeling I'm gonna watch it just to see. But her portrayal of Harley Quinn is really good. And it, you know, it's not the Harley Quinn we grew up with the animated series.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's just iconic, right?
Right.
But, well, I mean, that's where Harley Quinn came from, right? She wasn't a...
Yeah, she didn't exist until the animated series.
And so, yeah, I mean, Arlene Sorkin lent the voice to Harley Quinn in the animated series.
Mr. J.
And then you got Mark Hamill as the Joker, and they just were a great team. And I think... Margot Robbie incorporated a lot of Arlene's style into the character. And I think she mixed it with, I watched a video about how she got to the mentality of the character and the voice. And it was pretty cool. Anyway, so you have this thing where Harley is, you know, taking out the president or whatever. And you have this whole sub thing about the resistance and, you know, Flag ends up... instead of just following Waller's orders, he decides to help out the resistance and says, hey, we're going to go blow up this building. Might be a good time to go take out those other generals and for your country. So that's in the background. And then we get to them eventually mounting an assault on Jotunheim.
Well, I mean, you have the part where Harley has to escape, right?
Yes.
So they start torturing her and... They kind of, to me, was one of the best action scenes in the movie. It's another hallway.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. Apparently, hallways are the place that you do good fight scenes.
Yes.
Right. So,
or stairwells if you're Daredevil.
Yes. I mean, that stairwell fight scene in Daredevil was
one of the best.
Yeah.
That was one of the best choreographed fight scenes I think I've ever seen.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was that kind of reminiscent to that. Not really to that, but just a good, you know, she's just kicking ass, taking names. She finds a javelin. You know, because
the javelin guy died in the first beachhead.
Right.
And apparently it was just a regular javelin. I honestly thought it was going to be some kind of lightning javelin. Lightning javelin.
Yeah. He threw one javelin and it was done. I mean, they kind of made fun of the whole, you know, what's up with Hawkeye where he goes and he shoots 10 arrows and he's out. Like, sorry, guys, I'm out of arrows. Well, with javelin, they did that. You know, they made the joke. He threw the javelin and he was done.
Yeah.
But
he didn't even get to throw it. He died with it in his hand.
OK. Whatever, but he only had one.
He had one javelin.
It wasn't magical.
No.
But, so she finds, you know, she goes through a slew of weapons, finds a javelin, which she keeps for the remainder
of
the movie.
And then you get to kind of see this through her eyes, which is instead of blood, there's like flowers and birds flying out of the people.
Yeah, it's like Disney princess shit. Flowers and birds.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And that's what you get to see.
Yes.
Disney princess version of her. When she sees blood, this is what she sees because she's been... done, you know, psycho.
Right. But she just lost her shit. But yeah, so you go through all that. And as the guys are, you know, the rest of the team is trying to
gear up to save her,
they're outside, you know, they're starting to scale the walls. And then she's just like, hey guys, what you doing?
Yeah. I mean, another one of the best lines in the movie.
Fire on 3, 2.
What are you guys doing?
Well, we're here to save you.
You were gonna save me?
It was a really good plan, too.
Well, I can go back inside and you can still do it.
Rescue me again if you want. You know, I mean, look, it had its moments, yeah. Right?
It was a lot of funny moments in this one. I appreciated the constant humor in the situation. And this is where I think James Gunn's this is his strength, right? He's playing to his strength. Taking kind of a somewhat serious movie or something you could make a complete joke out of, but keeping it just serious enough and then having real humor in there.
Yeah, he makes a baby out of the two, and it's enjoyable. You know, King Shark throughout the whole movie just reminded me of another group kind of situation.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But I mean, that's the thing. And if I had to knock it, that would be one kind of thing that I would, because it was just a little too parallel to Guardian.
Yeah.
Not saying that's bad. I'm just saying it runs the risk of being redundant.
Yeah.
And I think overall, I hope they make a third one now.
If James Gunn comes back and does another one, I'll probably sit through it.
I will. I just don't think DC is going to give up on Margot Robbie's Harley.
I don't know how much money and how many more movies they have before.
I think they would be smart to keep her because she's kind of the focus. I mean, honestly, she's probably a better portrayal of a character than anything on screen, except maybe Superman.
Ooh. Ouch. Okay. But anyway,
even Batflack, I would say it's different, but I could see that Harley Quinn interacting with Batflack, and that would be a very interesting scene. So, I mean, again, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, but Harley Quinn's a great character, and
yeah.
Margot Robbie's doing a bang-up job. It's not a knock on anyone else. It's just she's doing a great job with the character.
Okay, so they finally go and they after Jutenheim, however you want to say it. You can German it up if you want. So they go and they do the assault on Jutenheim. Things happen. They break into two teams. So you get to see this go from two different point of views at this point. Well, Peacemaker, you know, spoilers, like we said, we're going to do them. Peacemaker turns on the crew because he has secondary options to do from Waller herself. You know, he has to go destroy records and stuff because apparently the American government was helping them with Project Starfish.
Jotunheim was an American, like it was a Nazi. It was originally built by the Nazis to do experiments on Quarter Maltese. And then the Quarter Maltese government eventually cashed in on the Nazi bounty and turned them over. Then the Americans took over the research facility. So they brought Starro there originally, and then they kind of bugged out when one of the revolutions happened. So because the Americans bugged out, they didn't want this new warlord to have control over Starro and expose what the Americans did.
Right.
Or use it to attack America. So that's why the Suicide Squad's going in. And, you know, during the whole thing, Peacemaker has the job of destroying all the evidence while, you know, they're going to like detonate the tower, but I don't know. That whole sequence was kind of cool. And you were right. I think you called it a Tarantino.
Yeah. He kind of Tarantino'd it there. So, you know, you got to see one portion of it. Then he rewinded it, got to see the second portion of it. And then they met back up, you know, but.
You know, so they go in, they do that thing. They take down they plant all the explosives. Then they go downstairs to see what's actually going on down there.
Yes. And also along the way, I'm sorry, we didn't mention this, but they take up, Peter Capaldi's character. If you're not familiar with Peter Capaldi, he's done a lot of good things. You know, most recently, Doctor Who. He's been in a few other movies, World War Z. You've seen him before. But he plays the thinker. And, you know, he's like the head scientist of what's going on in Jutunheim. So they capture him at this point. He's captured.
Yeah. So he's been working on Starro for 30 years and basically kept it locked up in a lab, fed it all kind of, you know, test subjects and whatever. And when they found Starro in space, he was like human-sized. Right? It was a human-sized starfish. But I guess after 30 years of experimentation, turned into this, like, giant Godzilla
kaiju,
size.
Like kaiju size.
Yeah, kaiju starfish. And, you know, the whole thing was just kind of, you know, it's kind of silly, honestly. But it was still...
What, giant-ass starfish tearing up a city?
Giant starfish tearing up a city, enslaving its population, you know?
Yeah, that's actually the biggest knock I have on this whole thing was Starro. It just didn't fit, like, to me.
Like, I mean, you're probably right, but it wasn't a bad portrayal of Starro.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's fine if that's what Starro does. You know,
that's literally his thing.
Shoot little starfish from its arm vaginas.
Yeah, he takes over people and feeds on their brains and grows bigger and basically conquers planets like that.
And that's fine for what it is. I think that could have been a better villain for another crew. I don't think it fit with the Suicide Squad. Of course, and that was one of the big problems of the first movie, too, was that it didn't fit with the villain did not fit. The Enchantress did not fit. Into that,
well, the entire plot of that first thing just didn't fit. But I mean, this was a sequel, you know. And I know you had a question about that earlier, whether it was just a reboot or a sequel. And
it depends on how you look at it. I think it could definitely be a sequel, but I can see also
when you see Captain Boomerang and Colonel Flagg and Harley Quinn, they all know each other. They work together. They're joking about, you know, this is like, you know, because basically it implies that Harley Quinn, Flagg, and Boomerang are the only ones left, and from King the first Shark. One, yes. Yeah, and King Shark, which we find out later, but are the only ones left from the first one. So, they did, it seems, ignore a lot of the first one because they didn't mention Deadshot. They didn't mention
anything that happened with the Enchantress.
Yeah, with the Enchantress and her and Flagg's relationship at the end of the first one. So, I mean, it's more like they just kind of said, you know what, we're just going to pick this up wherever it is. And then we're going to run with it because we don't need to justify anything. We don't need to use that last movie.
Right. Because, I mean, you can easily justify Deadshot not being there by being, oh, he just wasn't in prison at this moment in time.
Well, yeah, he was free after the first one, really.
Okay, so there you go. So he's not technically eligible to be part of the Suicide Squad at this exact moment. And you can say that, and that's fine. And even in the third movie, if you feel necessary, you can bring him back because he is an assassin. So he might go kill somebody and they, you know, capture him again. And then you have Idris Elba and Will Smith. In the same movie.
I don't know if Will Smith's going to come back, to be honest.
I mean, if he needs the money.
You think he needs the money? Do you honestly think Will Smith needs the money?
I mean, he didn't make a whole lot from those Fresh Prince
Yeah, but he's royalties. Pretty much the one of the biggest movie stars of our generation.
No, dude. I mean, that's The Rock. I mean, let's just be honest.
I'll put Will Smith above The Rock in terms of
bullshit.
Hey, number of movies.
Bullshit.
I mean, right. When it comes to the person closer to my heart.
I mean, The Rock has made more Fast and the Furious movies than Will Smith made.
Will Smith
Not
made
that Will Smith
zero.
Made zero Fast and the Furious movies. I'm just saying he's been
he
in
has,
more.
He's made more I'm than Will Smith the, made Bad Boys.
I'm just saying okay, there you go. So
I'm
in the
go
last
with that.
In the last Bad Boys movies was shit. So
look, I love the second one. You know you did. So anyway, this has been the Suicide Squad's MO. And you know, it's kind of What I've noticed about the DC movies is they're just independent enough that if you wanted to retcon anything, it wouldn't affect the overall. So like, let's say you wanted to make the Justice League movie disappear. Or in this case, you wanted to make the first Suicide Squad movie disappear. What they did with this one basically did. And it's separate and it doesn't rely on the first one to exist.
Okay, I'm just gonna finish this up real quick because I just did a quick Google search.
Oh boy.
Dwayne Johnson is worth $320 million. Okay, hold on. Let me look back to the other screen.
You are really on this.
Will Smith, his wealth, net worth is $350 million. They're the same fucking guy.
But Will Smith has Oscars.
But The Rock.
It's The Rock. I agree.
I mean,
I agree.
It's The Rock.
When you're talking about a draw to the box office now, you put The Rock in a movie, people are going to go see it.
You put Will Smith in a movie and The Rock in a movie on the same weekend opening up, people are going to go see The Rock's movie before they see Will Smith's.
I agree.
Okay. I mean, that's just where it's at right now.
And I mean, he's coming back to DC as Black Adam. So That I'm actually looking forward to. Because I like the Shazam movie.
I know. I'm finding so much. I'm having so much trouble with DC movies because they've all been so bad. Like, it's hard for me to want to give this a good review because I feel like it was actually a good movie. But compared to the original, it didn't have a lot to do to be better. It's like almost the same comparison for me for the Zack Snyder cut to the regular Justice League. You just had to be a little bit better. And people be like, well, I mean, obviously this is the better Suicide Squad movie. Well, no shit. The first one was complete.
But I'll give this movie better than Justice League Snyder cut.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'll watch this again. I actually sat through half of it again right before we did this with you, as you know, as we watched that second half of the movie.
Yeah.
That was my second watch.
And I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it again when I go home because I got to cut up clips for this. But it was a fun movie. I wasn't expecting a lot from it. And I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. But I would like to see him do a third one because, like I said, this one was good enough for me to warrant to want to see another one. But I would like to see them maybe bring Deadshot back and not have him as a central character this time because now you have Bloodsport,
yes,
and you know, a better director to do it.
I mean, you don't need a central character anymore.
No, because it's a buddy movie. It's the same exact MO as the Suicide Squad. You're not going to say one of them is better without the other.
Well, I mean, it's the same MO as any gangster film or any cop movie or any military movie. You know, right? You've got the whole squad.
When you have a group movie, a squad, suicide or not, you can't focus on one character too much. And Harley Quinn is like the most famous out of this group because everyone's seen her movie. You know, we've seen the Suicide Squad. People are going to see Birds of Prey. They know who Harley Quinn is because she's like, you know, this whatever. We've seen the cartoon.
Yes.
You know, I mean, she's Harley Quinn. You know who she is. So to see it in a movie where she wasn't the central character.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't find that they followed her. She was not in a whole lot of the movie.
No, she was just like a opening scene, her scene escaping, and then like her little parts toward the end, honestly. That was about it. In a 2-hour movie, she probably had 30 minutes of screen time.
Exactly. And that's how it should be. I mean, Bloodsport had way more screen time, but you didn't recognize him as...
The movie followed Bloodsport's team most of the time.
Right, but I'm just saying you didn't recognize it as, oh, they were trying to make a movie about Bloodsport. Not when you look at the first one, where they're like, oh, they were making a Deadshot movie. You know? So, I mean, definitely James Gunn did a better job than David Ayers. You know? I don't ever want to see an Ayers cut. So, if they ever come out with an Ayers cut,
nope.
I'm officially done with Warner.
Yeah, I want to see this. And then, you know, I think... Warner has the chance to salvage the Justice League by rebooting it because Man of Steel, the two Wonder Woman films, Shazam, they don't tie in directly to Justice League. And if they learn their lesson on Justice League like they did with Suicide Squad, they can reboot Justice League without having to reboot any other films or any other actors.
But the problem is this whole fan base of going on with the Snyder Cut crap. Like, the fact that Warner gave in and let him finish that and let him redo it and let him put out his cut.
Well, they had to try to recoup some of that money. They had to...
But that's the thing. The Justice League movie made money.
It did.
Like, all bullshit aside, it made a profit. It turned actually a really good profit. But it was just a shit movie. So
nobody went by the special edition downloads, you know, or whatever. So,
but
I mean, bending. This is it now. We're not at the point where you make money on residual plays, right? You don't have, people don't buy DVDs and Blu-rays anymore.
No,
like,
dying. But you have to make your money at the theater.
You have to make your money at the theater, and then you have to make sure your streaming numbers are good. And they know who's watching on the streaming. So that gives them a more accurate picture of what to keep making than anything else. And the fact that we're seeing, and this is what I like about DC, is they're going with some of the lesser known heroes to a certain extent, especially with Suicide Squad, especially with Shazam. You're getting You're getting some experimentation that I like to see.
But they're doing that following the same thing that, I mean, the same thing Marvel did before. I mean, that's the thing. That's what doesn't get me. That's what gets me about Warner movies is that they've been given the instructions on how to do it. Apparently, they only can read in English and they were giving them in Japanese because they can't figure it out. I mean,
yeah,
it's written. It's written for you how to do
it. And I mean, they had the formula from when they did the Justice League shows, you know, the cartoons in the 90s.
Yeah.
The Batman, Superman, all that was really good. And I can go back and I can pull on one of those old episodes. Yeah, there's some goofy ones. But when you're talking about the Batman animated series, there were some heavy hitting episodes in there.
Yeah. But I mean, what I'm saying is they wanted a big hit fast. And they took their shot and it failed.
Yeah, they were trying to catch up to Marvel in half the time.
And now they're flailing. They're flailing and they can't figure it out.
And then, you know, like, yeah, they had Joker, which was a huge hit and a critic hit. And it was an amazing movie.
Yeah, but it's a one-off.
But it's a one-off, and you wasted maybe one of the best performances. You know, considering that it wasn't a traditional, we're making this for an Oscar-type film. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, it's not a love story. It's not a war story. It's not a
It's just a
gangster.
Story. It's just a
It's
story.
Not a gangster movie that you normally see are the ones in contention for the Oscars. Or, you know, just a slice of life type of deal. But it was a guy portraying how the Joker got to be the Joker. And it was probably Joaquin Phoenix's best role ever. And that's saying a lot. Come on, give me something. Give me something he did that made you feel more uncomfortable than that
fucking
movie.
Commonus in The Gladiator. Come on, man. Fucking Gladiator is one of the best movies of all time.
It is. But I think this was better.
No, I'm sorry.
I think it was a better acting
Negative.
Job. No,
no,
I think it was a better bullshit.
No.
Bullshit. I'm going to take you to the mat with this
no,
one.
No, no,
no. No, no,
no.
No, no, no. No, no, no. I never have felt so uncomfortable watching the first 30, 40 minutes of a movie that I did with Joker. And that shows you just how good of a job he did portraying a genuinely crazy person.
Dude.
But he was pretty good as.
Oh, my God.
Commodus. Yeah.
Commodus fucked his sister. And was still obsessed with her.
Yeah.
And had a kid.
Yeah.
His nephew was his son. What in the name of Crimson Tide is going on in there? I mean, come on,
I mean,
man.
He was a great villain in that movie, too.
If that doesn't make you uncomfortable. I mean, just the way.
Oh, come
just,
on. We have Game
actions.
Of Thrones. Get out of here.
No, but this predates Game of Thrones before then.
Oh, this was like what?
This was
15 years?
Almost 20.
No.
Gladiator was amazing, dude.
Gladiator was what, 99, 2000?
That's what I'm saying, 20 years ago.
Yeah. And it was a great role, and it was a great thing, but I still think he did a better acting job.
No, this is the
Joker.
But I mean, Gladiator is the movie that broke him, right? This
yeah,
is the first
yeah,
movie you see
yeah.
him in. You see him in like really
as a serious role,
then,
like
then
leading
he did
role.
The,
yeah.
What Walk the Line? That was another good movie for him. Hold on, I'm going to get you that date on when Gladiator is. I'm sitting here IMDb-ing right now, so give me a second.
And when you think about...
2000. Gladiator came out in 2000. 21 fucking years ago.
21 years ago.
It took him 19 years to come up to a role equal to what he did with Commodus. And Commodus wasn't like the main portion of the movie either.
No.
That was a supporting actor role, and he did an amazing job.
Yeah, it was an antagonist role, which is why it was so good, and that seems to be his bread and butter.
You know, his two best roles, hands down, would be Commodus and the Joker.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can say about it to change my mind. Yes, Walk the Line was good, but it wasn't anywhere near.
No, no.
Those
are two great. I still think the Joker was better.
Well, you're wrong. And it's okay to be wrong. It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, it like happens to you all the time.
I mean, I'm married. I'm always wrong.
Oh, okay. So that kind of branched a little bit further out than Suicide Squad, but so be it. I think in the terms of what DC's been doing, you know, this is one of they're in the right direction with this, but I don't think that they can catch up to Marvel, and they should stop trying. They should just do their own thing. Take your time. Do it right. Because you know what? People are going to come flock to see.
Here's the thing.
A new Justice League movie or a new Batman movie, or a new Superman movie, no matter what. You know.
Here's the thing.
I don't
hold
think
on,
they
hold
could
on.
Release
let me,
a Batman
me,
movie I wouldn't see.
Let me interrupt you real quick. Okay, here's the thing, and here's the problem with DC. they want to be just as successful as Marvel, but they want to say that they're not like Marvel so bad that they jam it down your throats over and over again, right? When it comes to these movies. Oh, we're the dark. We're the gritty.
Dark.
We'll say fuck
edgy.
You. You know,
dark.
We'll have the language. We'll throw the
violence, blood, sexual jokes.
They'll throw that in your face and it turns you off. That
because
was my biggest.
It goes for shock value instead of quality, which, I mean, look at Loki, right? That could have easily been a much more mature show.
Yeah.
But they decided to keep it light and they didn't have to. And that's a good storytelling. When you don't have to use, and this is my exact same argument for Mortal Kombat, the new one. Full of cussing, full of crap, right? They use shock factor instead of good storytelling. And that's my problem with DC too.
I think you aged out on this. And I think that's where we both did. I think that's where it's at. Like not looking at it. We're looking for a story. And they're just looking to just, oh, we'll cut this chick in half.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's like the difference between, you know, watching a thriller and a horror movie. You know, there's a difference. You know, like Psycho versus just another Friday the 13th movie.
Yeah. I mean, that was my big problem with Logan, too. Right. So.
Oh, yeah. Which is shock factor. It was all shock factor.
Not saying it was a horrible movie, but it. Oh, we got the clear to say
it was one of the best movies in that X-Men universe, which is saying something.
I didn't like it. I was on the other side. I
didn't
that
say
movie.
It was good. I said okay. it was.
I mean,
one of the best in that universe.
People wanted that movie
again. Low bar.
People wanted that movie to win an Oscar, and there was
no even close. First Class was so much better.
When you took Logan and you we're going to go rated R and we're going to shove it down your face. We're going to make Patrick Stewart say, fuck you, Logan. It just didn't work. Like, I mean.
No, yeah. And I think.
It killed me.
Here's the problem,
and that's what they did in the first one. Is they, in the first Suicide Squad, they were trying to do the shock value. They were trying to do the thing. They were trying to make Harley.
Yes.
Oh, she's this sex symbol. She's going to do this. And we're going to shove that down your face with the short shorts the entire time and do whatever.
I like the short shorts.
I know, but it was. We're gonna shove this in your face, and it just didn't.
Yeah, I don't
it didn't play well.
It was there, and it was clear that her character was so much different from the rest of the characters, and it was that sexualization of her character, which is, you know, it's Harley Quinn. It is what it is. But
yeah, but they didn't do that in this one.
In this one, they didn't do it.
And
she spent most of the movie in like
a ball gown.
A ball gown, yeah.
And it worked way better than anything she did in the first one.
It was just way more Harley Quinn than.
Yeah.
Anything else. So I think what they did was a good thing. And
I enjoyed this movie. I mean,
I hate
to say it because I don't want to give Marvel, I don't want to give DC any credit, but I enjoyed the movie overall. It had its bad parts. Like I think the whole thing with Starro, it was too comic booky.
Yeah, I feel like Starro could have had like a better representation in the overall plan, but he was just a mad monster who just got out of his cage. If I had to pick on that, but still, he wasn't the main villain.
And then he was taken down really easy.
You know who the main villain of this whole thing was?
Who's that?
Waller.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's always Waller with Suicide Squad. She's always the antagonist.
But if Starro is going to be your biggie bad, right? You had to have a moment where you thought they had a chance of losing. Right. And they almost gave that to you. But then Ratcatcher pulls out and takes all the rats from all over the entire island. And it's enough. And that's basically what takes down Starro.
Yeah. And Harley Quinn going through his
eye. She goes through the eyes and then the rats follow her.
Yes.
And then they eat Starro's brain.
Yeah. So apparently one of the most evil beings can just be taken out by a sea of rats.
Pack of rats.
It wasn't a pack. That was a sea. Like. I didn't think it was possible to have this many rats, but
so
there were
you've
more.
You've never gone down an alley in Bourbon Street.
Well, even then, I don't think you could fill Bourbon Street with that many rats. I don't think you have enough rats on Bourbon Street to fill Bourbon Street. This was like enough rats to actually like flood the entire island with rats. So, yeah. But anyway, we can keep going. But I think this is good a place as any. That was a pretty good movie. So Suicide Squad, not the enemy of the good. The way DC has been treating their IPs on screen, definitely the enemy of the good.
Oh, most definitely. This is one of their betters. Once again, not a high bar. I would watch this again. I would give it about a...
On the superhero scale, where would you put it?
Six and a half?
I think I'm around there too. Like six.
You know, seven. Maybe closer to seven, but
I'd give it a seven.
I don't think I'd go that high.
Just because I didn't have to think about it. And I didn't have to like I didn't have all the baggage of all the characters that I normally have with the superhero movie. Of the, you know, the rich history of some of these characters being here for decades.
That's because they came out with and this is the part I had. This is the part that scared me at the beginning of when this whole thing came out, was the amount of characters they had. And then they just eliminated 2/3 of them, like in the first 10 minutes.
I figured something
and it was
like
fantastic.
That was
going to
happen because it's a Suicide Squad movie. They never all make it back.
I know, but they wiped them out so fast. It was almost comical how fast they went.
Yeah, and it was really funny because I remember they were hyping up Michael Rocker and Pete Davidson, you know, in some of the other stuff, like, and then they realized you got like maybe 10 minutes of screen time each.
Not even. They weren't even in the movie altogether 10 minutes. Like, I mean, the whole thing. I mean, and the way, you know, you get to see Waller push her button and actually take out Michael Rooker, yep. Savant, because he was swimming away, man. He was like, fuck this, I'm out.
Yeah. I probably would have done the same thing.
Blow me up. I don't give a shit. I'm done, you know? And he was just swimming away from it. So it was either die by a bullet or die by a
head explode.
Yeah, I think the head explode hurt less.
Probably. Yeah, I don't think you feel anything.
So.
All right, guys. Well, thank you as always for listening. We will see you guys on the next episode. We'll have some more films and shows to review for you.
Yeah, Marvel's What If debuting on the 11th.
Yep.
So you're going to get this after that comes out. So if you haven't checked
that
out,
Disney
Plus.
And then we'll go ahead and we'll give you guys a review. We were going to review Black Widow today too, but we just didn't have time. So we're going to fold those two in together.
We have that coming. And we also have the end of Bad Batch.
Yep. One more episode.
Coming up. That ends on Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th. Ooh.
Nice. Ew. Perfect ending.
Nice. All right. So, I mean, we got some episodes coming, people.
All right, guys. But thank you as always. And we will see you on the other side.
Deuces. And just a gigolo. And everywhere I go. Paid for every dance. Gigolo. Selling his romance. Gigolo. Oh. Gigolo. There will come a day. And you could pass away. Well, they say about me. When the end comes, I know there's just a gigolo. Life goes on without me. And just a gigolo. Everywhere I go, people know the part. Paid for every dance. Selling each romance. Oh, at the same. And there will come a day. And youth will pass away. What will they say about me? When the end comes, I know there's just a gigolo. Life goes on without me.